Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks 434-1798. You can email me on peter.w.wickham@gmail.com. Happy to hear from you. Carmel says, on being anonymous, Peter, it is anonymity that allowed a black man to come on the radio this morning and unashamedly broadcast that he is a white man from St. John. This gives me the impression that Carl knows a little bit about who this gentleman might be. I am anxious myself to hear. There were a couple of other WhatsApps I wanted to read. This one comes from a gentleman who was talking about the debt restructuring. Again, another anonymous one. I keep hearing people, including moderators, referring to bond and debt debenture holdings as investments, as if they are equity holdings or deposits in banks. They are really loans to government at a contracted rate for a fixed term and are guaranteed by the government of Barbados. Yeah. So that's it. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Mr. Wickham.
Mr. Straker's Tenantry, how are you, sir?
I'm good.
You sound like you're in fighting form.
A little busy today. I got things to do and I had to put them off.
Good.
But Mr.
You
got to
put them off so you could put me right.
No, I ain't exactly ready, but there's things I was to do that I couldn't do before. I got a meeting for two. That's the biggest problem.
Anyhow, we listen to the parliamentary debate.
Anyhow, Mr. Wickham.
We don't listen to parliament anymore?
Earlier you said that...
I realized that you learned how to ignore me, you know. Dang good.
Mr. Wickham, you said earlier when you were speaking about the walking back of the proof of address that we got some frauds out there.
Yes.
And we need proof of address.
That's right, yeah.
So I want to speak on that, but before
are we talking about frauds?
I know I can speak on that. Don't rush it, Mr. Wickham, but there are two things I want to run by you here. Now, you keep saying that 77% or something like that voted for the BLP.
It wasn't 70, it was a 74 point something.
Oh, 74 point something, right? And that this is the first majority government.
Okay, right.
Right?
I see my other good friend had a concern about that as well.
Yeah, because it's not correct. And you know
it is,
that. Mr. Wickham.
Let me tell you the origin of that comment, right? Basically, what you look to see is, do the number of people who stayed at home added to the number of people who voted against the government, does that come to more than 50%? Mm-hmm. And basically, since independence, on every occasion, if you add the stay-home factor, which is close to 40%, and you add the number of people who have voted against the government, you will end up with a figure that is more than 50%, which essentially means that the government is not popular. Because more people who expressed no view and expressed a view were more than the number of people who were voting for the government. And I'm making the point that on this occasion, it's the first time since independence that you have a number of people voting in support of a government that essentially made it popular.
So what's the percent you got?
The actual figure is the 70-something percent is people who voted for the government as opposed to the opposition.
77%.
Right. Not 77, 70-something percent.
74, let's say 74 or 75% of 60%. You remember that?
It's not really that way I look at it.
You see.
It's not that way that I look at it. Mr. Straker's Tenantry, I promise you that when I come back next Tuesday, because I actually wrote an article on it, which I intended to publish, but I never did, I will bring the data to you. Because I remember looking at it over the years and commenting that we have never had a popular government until now.
Okay.
So I will go through the data, I will get it, and I will bring it to you, and I can have a conversation. And I acknowledge that my friend, Austin Husband, is raising a similar concern as well, because he's asking about the 70-something percent of 60.
Of 60%. Yeah.
So
because only the total vote was 60%.
I will be more clear next time. My apologies.
Okay, cool. Next thing, Mr. Wickham, if for some reason the dice had rolled a little further and the DLP had retained the government, we would be in this position today whereby we getting these haircuts and headcuts.
Yeah, I imagine so. We may even have had worse.
No, you can't just tell me no. Yes, you imagine so. It's either you know or you don't know.
Well, what I would say is that Chris Sinclair said that he did not approach the IMF because he was convinced that the IMF would have demanded a devaluation, and that was not on. So I can assume that had the DLP won the election, that we would not have been going to the IMF now, because Sinclair was opposed to that. He believed that the solution to the problem was to sell BNOC and Hilton, and that that would have solved it. So I can only assume that that's exactly what he would have done. He would have sold BNOC, he would have sold the Hilton, and all would be well.
Well, not necessarily all would be well.
You believe that all would be well?
We would not be in this situation today.
Do you believe that all would be well if we sold the Hilton and BNOC?
No, all wouldn't be well.
So then you're answering your own question.
It would start the recovery.
You're answering your own question.
It would start the recovery. There was those two sales plus some projects, right? Anyhow, Mr. Wickham, let's take a look at you saying about absolute proof and about frauds, right? Now, that jumped out at me for this reason. Now, the creator, whoever he, she, or it may be, created man, then he created woman mm-hmm. as his partner.
Mm-hmm.
And there is absolute proof as to whether he is a male or a female.
You bother that again.
Exactly.
You don't get
absolute
tired.
Proof. And you're all.
Who is you all?
The proponents.
Strickers Tenetry, who is you all?
You and the other proponents of it.
Other proponents of what? What
of
is it?
All the other genders.
But what? Who is the proponent?
The creator made.
Who are the proponents of all the other genders?
Mr. Wickham, you know better than me. You know better than
no,
me.
No, because I'm anxious to hear what these other genders are. What are the other genders to which you refer?
Do, as far as I know, there's three or four here, but trans.
As far as I know. Right?
Mm-hmm.
They are supposed to be three persons who are men, persons who are women, or persons who are non-binary. Now, it is a question, I think, what is bothering you is the self-identification.
No, nothing is bothering me, Mr. Wickham.
I'm saying that what it is really a question of self-identification. If a person is born a man and chooses to identify as a woman, that's another matter altogether.
Mr. Wickham, that is not possible.
But what I am curious to know is why is this keeping you up at night, Mrs. Strickers?
It don't keep me up at night, Mr. Wickham.
But then later on sleep.
You calling the program,
raising this issue over and over again, like if it's going to go away. It ain't got nothing to do with me.
I don't want it to go away.
Mrs. Strickers Tenetry, I am a man. I am convinced within myself I'm a man. When I look at myself in the mirror, I see a man. This is not a conversation you need to be having with me.
Mr. Wickham, there's more.
If a person we accept and looks at themselves in the mirror and sees a woman, the person was born a man but sees a woman and they are comfortable identifying as a woman, that ain't got nothing to do with me. I can go and let them sleep the same way. And I would encourage you to do the same thing. So my question is, why is it that it behooves you to call on the program to raise this with me over and over again when it doesn't behoove me to lose any sleep over it?
Mr. Wickham, if you forget this, you lose sleep over it, I'm sorry for you. I called the program already and I identified myself to you.
Yes.
And asked you, what are you? And you couldn't identify yourself to me. That was the problem I got.
But I can identify myself to you. But my name is Peter Wickham. I normally start the program by saying that this is Peter Wickham and I'm happy to be here. And, you know, I give you the call numbers and whatnot. That's how I identify
but no,
myself.
No, Mr. Wickham, I said, I am a heterosexual male.
But the heterosexual, your sexuality is part of your definition. If you ask me to identify myself as male or female, as far as I was concerned, I have no reason to do that. My question to you is, why is it that you are asking, did you ask Frandell Stewart to identify himself in that way, his sexuality?
Mr. Wickham, I didn't hear Frandell Stewart call for absolute proof of nothing.
But I am an absolute proof, Mr. Strickers Tenetry. Look, let me say this, right? I have absolutely no interest in knowing who you lay down and sleep with at night. None. I'm not curious. I'm not interested. I don't want to know. And my question is, why are you wasting the time of people who are listening to this program now to be asking me foolishness like that? I couldn't got nothing to do with you. And it never will.
What is the foolishness that you're asking you that ain't got nothing to do with me?
So, Mrs. Straker, Senator, what I would suggest to you is that if you want to discuss issues of gender identity in a global sense, perhaps we can have that conversation. I'm curious to know where you are. But if you want, we can have that conversation.
Mr. Wickham,
we are not going to be talking about the Prime Minister's sexuality, the former Prime Minister's sexuality, your sexuality, or my sexuality. That's not going to be discussed on this program.
Mr. Wickham, I can speak on mine.
And I'm not interested in hearing you to speak on yours. But Mrs. Straker, Senator, I'm not interested. We're not having those conversations.
But then you cannot be walking about asking for absolute proof and you can't give me anything.
But walking about asking, what absolute proof did I talk about?
You talk about absolute proof of address. People want absolute proof. Look, you know how many bills there's paid in this country in people's names that invest very symmetry?
And what's the problem with that?
The problem isn't who's paying the bill.
The problem is who is identifying in that individual's character. But it's a question of who paying the bill.
So I don't understand what's the problem. But
if the land is your father's land and you live on the land and you pay the land tax in your father's name and you pay the water bill in your father's name, you haven't broken any laws?
Exactly.
But he long since dead, but it don't matter.
So if you're still living at the house, you aren't paying the bills there, but you got a driver's license that's supposed to go on an address on it already. You still don't bring proof.
Yeah, but the problem, Straker's Tenantry, is that the driver's license is in and of itself a proof of address. So the concern is that if it is that the driver's license is a proof of address and the person who issued the driver's license did not ask for proof of address, you have a challenge. Because it means I can come and give you a fraudulent proof of address. Then I will be issued with a driver's license that has an address on it that is not really a correct address.
Mr. Wickham.
So the problem is, how do you get away from that? No, my understanding is that they're saying they're going to go with this this thing where you get an affidavit signed or something like that. Maybe that's the solution. You can get a driver's license at 16, and invariably at 16, a lot of people don't have no bills to have an address sent to them at a bill sent to them at a house.
Mr. Wickham, the problem is renewing the license. I don't think the problem is getting the license the first time. Right now, my license got on an address on it. So when I go now to redo it, I still got to take along proof that that is the address that I gave them. It is you that has given them your address, and not them that give you the address.
But Strakers, you have difficulty proving where you live?
No, I don't have no problem.
But then what's the problem?
It ain't me that calling for absolute
But you owe like Methuselah, you should be the last person, you should be easy for you to prove where you live because you've been living there for years and years. It's a young person that could tell me they have a problem with that, but not you.
Well, I don't see how it get to be a problem to start with. Right now, bills are still paying in the home and dead people's name. So I know that
it's a problem.
It can't be a problem.
It's a problem. If your driver's license say that you live in Westbury Cemetery, right? I think that's a problem because your driver's license is essentially carrying information which is incorrect. So then you are able to say to people, you know what, this is where I live. I spoke to a gentleman recently who told me he was stopped by the police for speeding or for doing something. And the policeman took his driver's license and said, you live at X address, right? And he said, yes. The policeman wrote that down because he knew full well he had stopped living at that address years and years ago. And nobody can find he there. And he's saying that it's funny because the bailiff is still walking about looking for that summons to serve on him.
Right.
You realize the problem with if too many people do that?
But you also realize that lots of people in this country paying bills at more than one address. You aware of that?
Well, they will go explain because they probably have more than one woman. And they paying bills for the different women.
People got apartments and people got... Mr. Wickham, I don't know what you always don't want one line all the time. I'm saying that you can carry
a
bill that...
But, Strickers, if you have two women and both of them have phone, are you paying the phone for both of them when you have more than one address?
Well, it could be in them name. It ain't got to be in my name.
Right. Because I say that is one of the ways that could happen. I'm not being scandalous.
That's the same thing I would do.
Right.
But I know bills is paid. People move up from home and they're still in their names. So when you go and carry the bill from there, that's viewless.
Right, no problem.
So you see, we'll be just creating problems and terrifying people needlessly. When anything happens, they ask you for your address, and you also go and give them your address. So if you tell them you live here, it's up to them to accept it or not, or try and seek another way of finding it. But tell you bring proof of address, you bring proof of a bill coming to you, what part you born, and you don't live there anymore, what sense down here?
Fair enough.
And then you can get on a tirade, and you want proof of address and proof of it. That's an absolute proof. There's absolute proof that there's a male and a female. The DNA prove it. And I don't know how somebody can come up in front of me with a hoarse voice and this, and then telling me that them is a female.
Mrs. Rickers, on that note, I'm going to take the advice of several people who have been WhatsApping me, and I will wish you a good afternoon. A blessed, a wonderful weekend, and we will speak next week, Tuesday, when I'm back on the radio. I look forward to hearing from you. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Hello, hi. Good afternoon, Peter.
Good afternoon, hey.
Peter, how are you?
I'm good, sir. And yourself?
Not so bad, man. Listen, I hold off the program for a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I had to call just now. I mean, there's a program reach for people to discuss people's sexual preference or...
He wasn't able to discuss it.
You understand what I'm saying?
I wasn't discussing it.
And that part in
shittiness.
I want to say this to you. I leave the Democrat Labour Party, and I leave a few friends in the Democrat Labour Party that I still regard as my friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Mr. Strucker Tentry just disappoint me.
But only just?
No, he disappoint me, man.
But Mr. Strucker Tentry been talking that foolishness for years, they only know?
No.
But why he say he just disappoint you?
But no. Just they take it to all time low.
Well, look, Mrs. Trigger's entry been taking it to all time low for a long time. But don't worry about that.
I don't want to say to you, right? This is what got the Dems upset. I know that because they still speak to one or two of them, right? You see this deal, not deal really, you see this closure and this arrangement that the Prime Minister, Mayor Motley, just happened to land. As a matter of fact, just get one for Barbados.
Yeah.
A thumbs up for Barbados from the IMF.
In less than 100 days.
You understand what I'm saying? That got them lit back. Okay? Mm. That got them lit back. And you see the conversations that Miss Motley and her cabinet, not singling out Santia Brashaw, come to her constituents and Miss Motley come to the country and give you chapter and verse where we at and where we need to get to.
Mm-hmm.
So that got the Dems liquor. Okay?
Yep.
And I will say to you, I sure, and I'm more positive than my thinking and in my mind, that I did the right thing 5 years ago when I leave the Democrat Labour Party behind. Honest to God. And I all the way with Mayor Motley and her team, because I could see that Miss Motley, right, have a focus and a direction for this country.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be on board with her.
All right. So we're going to have to take a break. If you want, you can stay on the line because you haven't made a substantive point yet. And we're going to take a break now for the latest. When we come back, we continue our conversation on Down to Brass Tacks. So stay with us. Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks, 434-1790. peter.w.wickham@gmail.com. Are you there, sir? We started a conversation before we went to the latest. I think we've lost that caller, unfortunately. So one of our regulars, and I was looking forward to chatting with him. WhatsApp is telling me, Peter, you need to raise the bar on the conversations. And I do agree. What can I say? The last one was what it was. Let's see if we can raise it. No. Good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon, Mr. Wickham.
Yes, sir. How are you?
Oh, hi. I'm not too good.
Really?
The reason why I am calling is I have purchased some government paper last year,
mm-hmm.
and I am currently unemployed. I think the Prime Minister and her financial advisors need to create a buffer for people like myself who are unemployed. This is now 2 years I've been trying to find a job. I've sent out many applications, no luck. Mm-hmm. I remember speaking to Mr. The Ambassador Maskell sometime last week, either Wednesday or Thursday, and I asked him if he can go back to government, right, and at least look at giving us, the people who are unemployed, who have invested their money, at least 10% or 12% of the principal amount. So we can use this. This can cover us as a buffer. We can use it to create our own employment. I am 54 years old. I can't find a job. So my interest that I will receive now would be $365 in December compared to $4,800. I cannot create employment on $365. I am going to die.
What was the size of your investment?
I don't want to say how much it is.
Okay.
Right? But it was a fair size.
It sounds that way to me.
Right.
When you took a decision to buy government paper, did government force you to buy paper or you opted to do that?
Well, I had a choice. Either I am not at a pensionable age. I'm 55.
Right.
Either take it in cash and pay the government 25% interest, or I assume within 6-7 months I will be able to find a job. That is how I thought. At least investment, it would give me something to hold on to, some sort of income.
You had choices of other investments, or that was the only one you had?
That was the only one. I just put it on the credit union. But the reason why I put it there, because the 25% will have to be paid in taxes.
Right.
So I said, well, I would leave it there for 5 years. You know, based on the interest that we get at least $50,000-$60,000. Get back my principal. At least I can use the money to create some sort of employment. I could look at go into vegetables, check out, you know, do something. But no, but $300.
So you haven't accessed any of the principal?
No.
And how long has it been that you've been drawing this? Is $4,800 you got every month?
No, it's every 6 months.
So you got $4,800 every 6 months?
Yes.
And you lived on that exclusively?
Well, yes, I did. It was hard. It was hard, but I how should I put it? I tried to manage it. It was difficult, but to live on $4,800 and it was pain, but to live now on $365, that is death. That is death.
So you were living on $800 a month, basically?
Basically, yeah. I used to get some help from my family, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I was hoping that I would have found a job within 6 months, but obviously I was wrong. So what am I supposed to do with $300?
Sir, no, I don't know what you're supposed to do. I really don't know what you're supposed to do, but I will tell you, sir, that your case is not the type of case that the Prime Minister spoke about on weekends, because you're not anywhere near 70. While I do believe that it's a compelling argument, the fact is that you're not in the first line of defense for government.
But that is very unfortunate. Because
the whole thing is unfortunate. I think the unfortunate part about it was that you weren't given the option when you were laid off to take all of your money.
Correct. But the thing about
you worked for government before?
No, private.
Oh, so this was this annuity thing?
Correct.
Okay. But you were laid off from private employment and you chose to draw down on this annuity.
Yeah, and put it in a big central bank.
Yeah, okay. No, I'm with you now. So would you agree that the unfortunate part about it is that you were laid off in the first place?
Well, I mean, people would be laid off. That's part of life. This is not the first time I was laid off. You know, I was laid off about 3 times already, but I was able to find a job within a few months. Mm-hmm. But this is now 2 years.
No, I'm just saying that when we get to the stage where we are laying blame for the current situation, I just think it is unfair for us to ignore the employer who laid you off and essentially park the blame at the feet of the person who created the investment instrument. No?
it doesn't matter who fault it was. The point is I'm in this position. Right,
and you drew unemployment benefits at all?
Yes, and that's been since last year.
Okay. I know it wouldn't continue this long.
Right. So my what I'm asking the Prime Minister and her advisors is to at least give us a buffer. A buffer will help us. Because it's like pulling the rug under us and say, hey, we leave you in the desert. You know, give me a little shelter. Give me some clothes to put on, you know, to shield me from the wind at night.
I understand, sir. I understand all of what you're saying. You don't need to be more graphic. I'm just saying to you that in addition to your consideration, there's another serious point that has to be made.
Hmm.
If you are saying that or not saying, you are saying, you're telling me that you generated $4,800 a month in interest, and that was basically what you lived on. You've chosen not to disclose the size of your initial investment, but clearly you're worth quite a bit of money on paper, because $800 a month in interest is, it says to me that you got a piece of change put down somewhere.
No, I put all of my savings at Central Bank. That's what I did.
Which is something that, in generally speaking, you're encouraged not to do.
But I'm here now. I mean,
No. I'm just saying that would most financial advisors not have told you that it is a bad idea to have all of your investments in one place?
Correct.
And this was done in what year?
2017.
So in 2017, when you decided to make this investment, to throw all of your savings into government bonds, did you not have reservations at the time about the ability of government to service its debt? I mean, you were hearing the reports, and you were hearing Clyde Maskell and Mia Motley, and, you know, you were hearing Chris Sinclair telling Mia to strip naked and run down Broad Street. You were hearing all of this, and you didn't believe that there was something suspicious about the environment that we were in economically, or you just figured that you would have been shielded?
No, I figured that it is Central Bank and the money is safe.
Yeah.
That was my thinking. Central Bank is
which is
financial institution.
Yeah. Which is a reasonable...
They should not go bad. Should not leave a bank to go bad. They're responsible for...
But they haven't gone bad. They haven't gone bad.
So all I'm asking is something can be done. If Mia is going to do something for the pensioners, at least look at something for us. It don't have to be nothing big, but at least give me a little 10% of my principal. You don't even have to pay me interest. It's me personally. Keep when I interest. Just give me 10% of my principal amount so I can go and create my own employment. Let me go and buy a little Suzuki van and sell vegetables or do something. But $365, I can't do nothing with it. I'm at a loss.
My curiosity, though, was why did you not attempt to do this in the beginning? Even you had the option to take part, and use that initially to get yourself into some kind of business. But you figured that you could find work.
Yes, I figure I can find work.
Okay. No, that's not unreasonable. That's not an unreasonable point. Sir, my only concern is, I would say that we need to be careful. Because when we start exempting people, we're going to have a problem. And I think that if someone says to you, you have to wait 10 years for your money, it's not the same as saying to somebody who is 70, they have to wait 10 years for their money. Because the presumption is that you're going to be around for at least another 30 years based on...
Not necessarily. I can have a heart condition and die tomorrow.
Well, I'm assuming that you spend all of this 10 years at home exercising and eating well and whatnot. You talk about growing vegetables, so I'm assuming you live off of that. Well,
people just go to gym every day and die, exercising every day, eating.
People die every day.
And a man who smoke and drink alcohol, my grandfather lived till he did 99, he used to smoke every day and drink alcohol. And people who go on a health diet and work out every day.
But let me not go off track. I'm just saying that you take care of yourself, but under reasonable circumstances, you are likely to live to 70. The point I'm making is that for a person who is in their 70s, they have a more urgent need. And that's the reason why I think the Prime Minister responded to it. I'm saying, regarding yourself, you have to be careful that you don't become like, for example, me, I'm also 50 years old, right? I don't have any government paper because I've never been so fortunate. But the point of the matter is that you have to be careful that we don't start exempting everyone until we come to a point where, you know, you have essentially created the problem that you were planning to solve. So the banks are asking for exemptions. The credit unions are asking for exemptions. Everybody's asking for exemptions. And we have to be careful that we draw the line at some point. Even though I do accept that your point is a compelling one, but we have to be careful. The other thing that worries me, too, is that there are so many people who are in your age group that are in private employment already, and they work for themselves. They claim to be unemployed, but they may work for themselves doing various things. And their case may not be as compelling as yours, but essentially you all are in the same category. Agreed?
Yeah. because I came up with three categories of individuals who invested their money. They are the people who are working, mm-hmm. people who are unemployed, and the pensioners. Those mm-hmm. are the three categories I come up with. If I was working now, Mr. Wickham, if I had a job now, I would not be so bent on getting my money now because I have a job, right? If somebody could give me a job, fine. I would not ask the government for anything because I know the government is in financial problems. But I don't have a job. That is the
I get that. And as I said, you were telling me that you're living on $800 a month, which can't be easy.
I got to be begging my brother, begging my sister. You know, I mean, it is really, really hard.
Right.
And I you know, this is more stressful. This is the most stressful thing in my entire life.
You know, the option, sir, and I know it's not easy. The option that I think Barbados would have had in a situation like this is to devalue the currency, and then you would get all of your money and you would get all your interest, but it would be worth nothing. You think that would be a better way to go?
Well, my concern is, right, honestly, I ain't interested in that interest. I just want to get out my principal.
But, sir, you heard what I said. You heard what I said. It represents a cost to government,
correct,
that it does not have. So I'm saying, in a situation like this, what would you have preferred? Would you have preferred government to say to you and all other people who owe it money, we take a haircut? Who they owe money, we take a haircut? Or alternatively, would you like to say to government, continue to pay all the money you're supposed to pay, but just devalue the currency, and then essentially it will be worth a whole lot less? So in your case, 2-1. So instead of getting it, you would still get your $800, but it would only be able to go as far as 4. You think that would have been a better option?
No.
There you go. You see, and no, therein lies the problem, because contrary to popular belief... You can tweak it, but there's only so much that you can do. When your tweak becomes a bend, you have a problem because you have defeated the whole problem that you were intended to fix. Sir, structural adjustment is never easy. It is painful. When Erskine Sandiford did the 8% cut, everybody was saying, but you can't cut this person, you can't cut that person. Sandiford said, look, across the board, we do not have an option. This is what we're doing. I personally didn't support it, but I understand very well that when you are looking at structural adjustment, you have to be as consistent and clear across the board as you possibly can. It is painful. It is uncomfortable. Nobody enjoys it, but it is what it is.
Mr. Wickham, I don't think it is painful. I think it is death for me. I don't think it's painful. This ain't pain. We've gone past pain. This ain't painful.
Well, sir, I only hope that you, when you are considering the pain or lack thereof, that you understand who you need to be angry with. Because as a lady is saying to me on WhatsApp here, as much as she empathizes with you, you saw 20 downgrades. You saw the level of mismanagement in this economy. You must have known that something was up. And now trying to say that this is a pain that is being caused by a person who is trying to fix this problem, to me, is forgetting the fact that it didn't happen overnight.
Trying to fix the problem, she has to fix the problem.
But just don't be hard on you.
But I'm just talking about a little buffer. That is all. Come on, man. Just a little buffer.